You're listening to the Fairways People podcast, where we share inspiring stories, meaningful conversations, and the voices behind our charity. Each episode offers a closer look at the people and passion that drive us. Hosted by Fairways Managing Director, Gareth Webb.
Hello everyone, so welcome to another Fairways People podcast. So I'm Gareth Webb, the Managing Director of Fairways. So as I mentioned before, as we've grown, it's so difficult to stay connected and to get to really know the key people in the charity. So the idea of the podcast is to introduce these key people, give a little snapshot and help our staff understand their journey, their role in Fairways, their why, and what makes them get out of bed each day to work and come to Fairways. So for our podcast today, I'm proud to announce I've got Harriet Whitron-Jones,
Hello.
Our HR director. So welcome, Harriet.
Yeah, thank you for having me today, Gareth.
You're welcome. So, so Harriet, you've been with Fairways now for about 5 years. You joined as a head of HR.
I did.
You've had a successful career so far, and you've been promoted to the HR director. Yeah. What's that, for about 2 years now you've been HR?
Yeah, it must be about 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years, okay. And also you support not only the operations board, but you also sit on the executive committee and you support with trustee work as well. So you're involved with lots of key functions now in the charity. You oversee all the HR functions and our people strategy. And you manage around a team of 17 people, is it?
Yes, I do. Keeps me busy.
I think that's grown and grown in over the last couple of years. But 17 people. So HR is, I guess, such a key function in business. For me, I think it's essentially the glue that holds the business together. And at times, I think HR can get a bad reputation. You get the HR police, and it's so much more, though, isn't it, than that formal investigations and that formal process. And I think probably HR is so much more, but it's such a fantastic supportive function and a team that you've got. And probably, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but probably gets underutilized by staff for the right reasons, maybe. But we can learn a little bit more about that as we talk, as we go through the podcast. So first of all, like all my guests and the staff that come on to the podcast, let's start from the beginning, Harriet. Yeah. So where are you from? Where are you born? What's your childhood? What was it like growing up?
Thank you. So I was born in Bournemouth, only lived there a short time, and over time moved gradually more towards Portsmouth. We moved quite a lot when I was a child. My dad was an entrepreneur, so highs and lows that come with that. We did move around a lot. But yeah, my childhood, I've always been... I mean, I've got some funny stories, but I've always been very independent, I would say. I remember my mum saying when I was about four, we'd go to Tills and Green in Southampton, if you remember. Do you?
No, I don't actually.
So we used to go there every Saturday, and every Saturday I demanded that I sat by myself and I paid my own bill, which always amazes me, but I was allowed. So I think that just kind of sums me up a little bit. I've always loved working. I started... working when I was 10. For my mum's best friend, she had a little florist, and I just used to be out the back every Saturday just picking up rubbish and things. So I've always, as I say, I'm very independent.
Yep.
My mother would say quite stubborn at times.
Oh, really? Oh, no comment.
A happy child, loved being at school, education, you know, that was...
Yeah. And did you do the formal route, as they say? So did you go to college, or what did you do when you left school?
So actually I wanted to work with children. So left school and I then went to college to do childcare studies. Okay. Yeah. So I did that. Then I finished that and I worked with in nurseries, that sort of thing, a really small private school with a preschool there. So, and then, funny enough, I got viral meningitis when I was 20.
Okay.
And I was out of work for about 6 months, really poorly. And I had kind of one of those moments where I was like, do I want to do this for the rest of my life? And gradually getting back into work, I saw a job with Hampshire Fire and Rescue Service, and it was filing.
Okay.
So back then when I
started, Just filing.
So back in those days, it was all paper.
Yeah.
So you think we had about 2,000 employees. So I was in this dusty cupboard as just a fixed-term contract, helping them with some backlog of filing, and got to know everyone. And then a job, funny enough, came up in HR.
Oh, okay.
Within the team. And often you will find people in HR will say they didn't really ever, that wasn't their kind of dream. It's actually quite unusual. A lot of people fall into it. So I applied for the admin job and got it. And I spent 10 years at the fire service working my way up. So I did my degree there in HR management. Okay. And then they funded my master's, which I achieved. And like I said, I just did different roles. So I was just like a sponge, just always wanting to learn. And then there was opportunities. So I did 10 years to leave and take voluntary redundancy. And I felt it was my time to actually explore a different industry to kind of strengthen my HR awareness and knowledge and experience. And then, went into the private sector and kind of got exposure there. Done IT and gaming, retail, so all sorts. And then,
So that's interesting. So you sort of fell into HR just by going sort of for a filing job at the fire station. But 10 years at the fire service, that's quite a long time, isn't it?
Yeah, so I made my way up to a manager there. And then, went into a kind of senior role and just kind of was a sponge, just taking it all in. But I absolutely, so I've been doing it for 19 years now.
Oh, wow.
HR. So, my bread and butter and my career now.
Okay. So, how did Fairways come about then? What made you gravitate towards Fairways?
Yeah. So, this is a bit of a story, as you well know, because you interviewed me first. So, I applied for Fairways. I saw a job and thought, wow. And I guess the main reason I applied was, when I left the fire service, I actually felt disconnected in the private sector in terms of, I always felt proud working for the fire. So, people say, oh, where do you work? And I was like, I work for the fire service. And after that, working in kind of private sector, I saw a different side to HR, and one actually that didn't align to my values. So I actively looked for somewhere that I thought aligned with my personal values and what I believe in. So I applied. So that was for the head of HR at the time. And I must say, I was put through the... that was quite a challenge.
Well, I think about, process.
It was, I think it was about 3 days.
That's it.
Yeah. And
how long ago was that now? That's...
Well, that would have been, I think, 6 or 7 years ago. Okay. So I've been here 5.
You joined during COVID, didn't you?
Yes.
2 years before that, roughly?
Yeah.
So about 7 years ago.
Okay. I applied, got down to the final two through that process. And at the time it was decided, I had great feedback actually, and I would say that about Fairways at the time, because it made a lasting, I was like, I've got to work there one day. So the advice was to kind of go away and get some experience, kind of board level. Okay. It was head of HR, but so I did that, and then another opportunity came up and I was just absolutely thrilled. But it was COVID.
Yes.
It was April, and obviously when I spoke to the company I worked for, they obviously weren't too happy, because at the time the HR function was key at that time with furlough and just general well-being and support. But I just couldn't not. I had to work for Fairways, and I knew that deep down. So Yeah, that's
the rest is history.
Yeah, the rest is history.
So you just touch on like, you joined in COVID, and that must have been quite challenging, because I know that you've built an incredible team, and I know you're very values based, and you're very key on relationships, and you can see that, you know, that the staff not only work for VOAs, but they work for you as a leader. But that must have been difficult, because there was, when you joined, like, you couldn't have contact, could you? There was, everyone was working at home, furloughed, and so how did you sort of manage that? And
I joined, and so I didn't meet my team for 8 months.
Wow, yeah.
In crazy, person. Yeah. So it was, and obviously anyway, because of COVID, it was so busy. So it was really challenging to get to know your team, build your team, but also deliver what we had to do, because there was so much to do, and particularly for us with the young people, you know, we were 24/7 service still, so we had to make it work. But it, for me, the main thing was about building rapport with individuals, and, you know, it can be done over screen, not as ideal as in person, but I just spent a lot of time getting to know the team, what they did, what was their struggles, what was their strengths. You know, we also ran, like everyone did, some team evenings where we'd have a bit of fun.
The team quizzes.
Team quizzes, yeah. There's some photos on there, you know, that the team has probably still got that still make us laugh today. But so for me, it was about, you know, we had a job to be done, and that was key. But equally, spending a lot of time building the team.
Yeah.
But it I would honestly say that was probably the most challenging time of my career, which I'm sure a lot of HR professionals would also agree.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so your HR director, like I said, you support on the apps board, also the exec, and you do various work for the trustees as well. So what, I guess, in a sort of summarise, what is the role of a HR director, I guess? Mm. What do you do, Harriet?
What isn't it, let's say? I would say the HR, there are so many hats, you know. People might make an assumption that you're sat behind just looking at policies and, you know, they pay us. You know, some would say, oh, they're the internal police, you know. If something goes wrong, you know, they're straight there. But actually, it's so much more, and it's so complex, because we're all human. And I think that's why I absolutely love my job, because no day is ever the same. You know, it really is. And I'm so passionate about people and where I work. You know, we spend so much time at work that it's so important that when you are at work, it's a really valuable time, and it is tough, particularly with what Fairways does. And so it's about, for me, you know, we've got the basics, so we pay people, and that may sound like, oh yeah, it's just a button that, you know, you figure. It's really, it is complex, all of HR. It isn't as straightforward, but, you know, we deal with right from attraction, so getting great people in with our recruitment function, the onboarding of those people after the interview, settling them in to their role, working with managers and teams, to any issue that comes up within your employment with us.
Yeah.
You know, it's the full-on employee life cycle for anyone before they even come through the door to the moment they exit. And it's important that as a function, we support our employees through that.
And it must, I'd say, like, Fairways must be really challenging for HR. So, I don't know, I could be wrong, but very similar to, like, the fire service, I guess. You know, our staff on the front line, they're working in such challenging environments with trauma. And they do a fantastic job, but I guess that the impact that it can have on people and staff, and I guess HR needing to support and guide that, similar to, I guess, like the fire service, where, you know, you've got firefighters going into really traumatic incidents. And I guess that must be challenging for HR to try and manage them sort of stuff. Like, it's very different to someone, you know, working in Tesco's or working in a factory, isn't it? Because you're dealing with people. So do you find that challenging at times?
Yeah, it really is. Because I think also fairways, you know, by default, you know, myself included, it attracts people that really want to give back,
yeah.
You know. And I think with that, that comes a lot of emotional and at times physical strain. And it's how can we as an organisation truly support people through that journey?
Yeah.
And there's still more we could do,
yeah,
you know, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And we every year we strive as part of our people strategy to look at what can we do more,
yeah.
Because we can do more. We know that, yeah, and yeah. We're looking yeah. to always do that. But it's about having those personal connections and getting to know people and having different points of contact. We're not all the same. So how I might deal with my mental health or what I need is not what you may need, Gareth. So, yeah, yeah. And that's where it becomes complex because yeah, yeah. you'd want to tailor it as much as possible. But as we're growing, like I said, we need to ensure that that is a high priority for us.
Yeah, definitely, absolutely. So you mentioned the people strategy. That's interesting. Yeah. So as we know, we've got a five-year strategy for the charity. We've got a five-year breakthrough strategy objectives. One of them is really important about how do we internally promote staff. So we really invest in our workforce and our training and our career development. And a key part of that is our people strategy moving forward. I know you've put a lot of energy into this mm. over the last few years, and you've got some ideas and strategies and key objectives mm. over the next few years of how we move forward. So do you mind just sharing a few of them with us of what you're aiming to do or what you want to do?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the issues I'll start with is around staffing. You know, this isn't something, you know, that's just come about. You know, the care sector, they struggle. They really struggle. And this has been a key factor for us, for mainly the stability for those that are in our care. We know that they deserve the absolute best support and care that they can ever have. And that's something that I know as part of a director is so key for us as a board and a whole organisation, that we turn up to work and do our absolute best. So we've been really working on staffing. And, you know, one example, which you know very well, you know, Gareth, with your support on it, is around our multi-site team as an example. You know, we were spending an awful lot on agency, and it was identified that that wasn't good for young people. So that's something we're continually focusing on. Actually, how do we provide stability for staff? Because yeah. we know when teams work well together, they're high performing.
And it is,
I would say, work, it's kind of second family because we are here so much. So it's important that we get that right in our recruitment activity, but equally when in post.
Okay.
So staffing is a really big one, that
big
consistent,
focus, yeah.
massive focus for consistency. Retention as well, similar in terms, so when I first joined, our retention was exceptionally high, but not necessarily outside of kind of the care sector, but was high. And we've made amazing shifts in that just by some really clear people strategies. We've managed to reduce that by 54%, which is
amazing, yeah.
Absolutely amazing. And you know, that doesn't happen by chance,
yeah.
You know, that is due to having some really clear focus within the people strategy around that area. Next one we talk about is the performance and reward element within Fairways. So as you know, a couple of years ago we did a mass consultation to revisit our pay structures because
yeah.
it was historical and there were many issues with it. So that piece of work has really also helped, and we will always continue to look at that because we do want to be a competitive employer and a general great place to work.
Definitely.
So in terms of that performance as well, so we're just about to launch in November
yep.
My Performance, which is a key part of the strategy, which is about creating that high performance. You know, how we come to work, have you got as employees everything you need to do your best, you know, with a key focus on training, development, support to get people through their career path should they wish to have that. And that's a really big, big focus for us. So the conversations will be really rich around behaviours. So we really hope that that will go down well with our staff.
And there's a really big focus on that and about our talent management program going forward, and now we're investing into career pathways for all different types of roles. So it's really exciting, isn't there, for that for the future?
Yeah, definitely. Really, really exciting. A big focus. And then, not lastly, because there's lots of things we're always looking at doing, but around wellbeing. You know, as you touched on, Gareth, earlier, it's tough. It's tough. It's a tough job. So actually, what are we doing to go above and beyond to support our employees? And that's culturally, whether that's through providing a really great suite of benefits. It is something we always are looking to improve on, which is why we've got our employee committee EPIC, so that we get some great ideas that can go to board. And actually, we've implemented many great things through feedback from our employees. So it's just that continuous review of how can we be, you know, the leading and setting the example externally for a children's charity.
Brilliant. Sounds good. Exciting.
Yeah.
So we talk a lot about Fairways values and playing your part and the key values such as being professional, accepting, transparent and reflective. So what's your core values? If you were to stick a rock like you used to get the seaside and I was to cut you in half, I'm not going to obviously.
No, please don't.
What would be the core values that are running through you, would you say, Harriet? What's your core values?
I would say respect is a really big one for me, and the professionalism is huge. Yeah. I mean, I feel I turn up to work and I do my absolute utmost to role model the values.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would be happy if you went round to my team and said, does Harriet do that? That I do. I really try to lead by our own values and my own.
Yeah.
And my personal is about doing good for society, creating change and positive impact, whether that's through our employees or our young people, because we all play a part in that. And that for me gives me the absolute pride. You know, I've got an outside life, but actually my job for me, it is me. If that makes sense, because it is tough at times, it's challenging, there's a lot to do, a lot of plates to spin, but I've got a fantastic team. I value them, I value everyone in this charity that comes to work. You know, I'm in awe of many people, and I often say that at the conference, because that's genuine. But my values is to give something back, that fulfills me totally, and to my team.
Brilliant. Very good. So you've touched on a little bit, I guess sort of nearly there. What's your why? So what drives you to do what you do each day? So what is your why?
If we talk about HR within my role, it's to bring about change. And as I said, one of the key things is why is I want Fairways to be an outstanding employer. Because if we are an outstanding employer and we've got brilliant people in the right place at the right time who are happy most of the time, because as we said, that's not always the case, but we endeavour to do that, that actually who's impacted? It's those that are in our care.
Yeah.
Because they feel safe, they feel cared for. And I think that is absolutely why I get out of bed.
Do what you do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brilliant. Okay. So finally, on my podcast, I'd like to just finish off with a bit of a generic question that I want to ask sort of all guests that come on here. So here it goes. So with the current complexities of and chaos of everyday life, we know impact on our mental health and our well-being. You spoke about well-being, and how important that is.
Mm-hmm.
So my question to you is, what do you do to support your own well-being? Or what do you recommend?
I guess we're all, as I said earlier, we're all individuals. So what's good for me might not be for somebody else. But there's some key things. I love to read. I do read a lot of self-help books, I may say. Yeah. So I love to reflect, as we're not all perfect, but it's about growth.
Yeah.
I try my best to be optimistic, even in bad situations, because I always think there's always something good you can take from it, you know, always. And that's always been my mindset, sorry. Getting out in fresh air, you know, that there's nothing better than taking yourself. I do like to go hiking.
Cool.
So somewhere with a beautiful view, sunset, you know, things like that, I think are really, and ultimately that's free.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need anything apart from some headspace, some headphones, and off you go. But yeah, I would say that are the key things for me that help me. And also, you know, spending time with my children.
Yeah.
You know, most of the time. you know, they really do. Yeah, they're amazing. So, you know, all of those sorts of things really do help me to stay focused and in a good place.
Getting out of the outdoors.
Yes.
Do a bit of walking. Yeah. Brilliant. Okay, well, thank you very much for your time today, Harriet.
Okay.
It's been really insightful, actually. I've learned a few things as well. I didn't know you're from Bournemouth originally. but no, thank you very much for your time. And thanks for everyone for listening. So, and goodbye from us.
Thank you.